Take your Bibles, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be studying in conjunction with last week's word. We talked about witness and what it means to be a witness, to live life as a witness for Jesus Christ, and we are going to be continuing that thought with a word that's related or has to do with the word witness. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, and I will try to be brief. I'm so glad that the word brief is not a time limit. It's just a matter of speaking, okay? So, but we will try to be brief tonight because we do have many things happening this evening, and we want to be aware of that. But I'll begin reading. You follow along. I'm going to start in verse 3. Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul is talking to Timothy, he's thankful for Timothy, and he's talking about Paul is talking about his own service to God, handed down to him from his forefathers. In verse 4 he says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So think about these things in light of that word witness and in light of the new word we're going to talk about this week, which is mentioned in the next verse. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now the word testimony, or testimonies, or the testimony, or a testimony, or of testimony, all of these words in the Hebrew and the Greek, because they are used in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And sometimes in our King James Bible, these Greek and Hebrew words are translated the word to the word witness. And sometimes they're translated to the word testimony or testimonies. And we have these words in our Bibles, and they do mean what they say. Okay, so please understand that when they're translated as witness, that's the inclination. We're bearing record. We're being a witness of something, or something's being a witness of something. And by the way, I want you to understand that simply means, that word witness means to bear record. But the word testimony carries with it something a little bit more expressive. When they choose the word testimony, it's indicating that something is being brought forth as evidence. Aha. Uh-huh. You see, I can bear witness of what I have seen and what I've heard, and it can be a true witness. That's good, right? But when I bring evidence along with that witness, It is greater. Everybody understand what we're talking about? So this is a coupling type word. This is a word you kind of put with something or use to make a greater emphasis, because here's what the word evidence and evidential means. By the way, in the definition of the Greek and Hebrew words, it says that it's a witness or something evidential. Now, I like that word evidential. That means it has some substance to it, some form to it. And here's what that word evidential or evidence means. It means clearly proving. Okay, clearly proving. And we could say in the legal sense, without a shadow of a doubt. All right? Now, your word or your testimony or your witness can simply be enough. But sometimes it's a greater effect or a greater witness to have actual evidence. Okay? So, I love reading through the dictionary. It's actually kind of fun. I know you think I'm crazy, but I do enjoy words. I think that you say, but you hate English. Yes, I hate English, but I enjoy words. They don't have anything to do with each other. You understand that English is the structure of the language. All right? I can enjoy words, and they could be in German, French, Latin, you know, whatever. I mean, the words are words, right? But I have a problem with English, because English somehow, some way, decided a long time ago it was going to break all the rules. That's what I don't like about it. I just wish it would follow the rules, and that would be fine with me. Anyways, off of that. But Mr. Webster uses really cool words sometimes, and I like that, because most of the time I don't know what they are, and I have to look them up. So he says this about evidence. Evidence is that which elucidates. That's a new one for me. I like that. That's good. Elucidates. Well, to elucidate means to make clear or manifest, to explain, to remove obscurity from, and to render intelligible, to illustrate. That's what a testimony is. So you understand that a testimony is something just a bit further than a witness, or it's just a bit more conclusive than just a witness. It's a witness with stuff. Okay? It's a witness with evidence. Okay? And that's what testimony is. And so when by the way, that all helps the individuals to see the truth. So don't just hear the truth, they get to see it. They get to feast upon it, if you will. And so I want you to realize that as a witness and as a person who has experienced salvation, not only do we have a witness, we have a testimony. We have something that people can look at and say, see, look what's happened to them. Not just what they say, but what they are. And so that's what, and by the way, being a witness is that, but it's not always that. But being a testimony is always that. Being a testimony or something that is a testimony is an evidential thing. It contains with it that which makes clear, that which illustrates, that which removes obscurity from any darkness or any question of the matter. Okay, so it is above just a witness. And so as we look to our lives, yes, we shall be witnesses. Remember, that's what Acts 1:8, we talked about that last week. And we've been given power to be a witness. And folks, we ought to be a witness, but let's be a witness and a testimony. Because there's got to be some evidence. You know, I do believe that the Word of God can, if you will, care for itself. It stands alone as the Word of God. And it, if you will, it doesn't need me to help it to succeed. But you know what? It does help for me to help it succeed. It helps me to know the evidences that this is the Word of God. It helps for me to know about how it was formed, how it came about, the different intricacies. That does help people believe that this is the Word of God. It helps paint a picture. It's gathering the facts. putting forth a presentation, studying the details and and even studying the opposition and what they say about it and how we'll combat that. That's why biblical apologetics is a good thing to study. I'm for that. Okay? But you know what? Salvation in Jesus Christ can stand alone too. And I can say, yeah, I've been saved. But a life lived that can show that I'm saved is a testimony. Do you see how that works? We are to be witnesses. We are to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, we shouldn't be a false witness. We'll review the points from last week, right? We should be a faithful witness and we should be a filled witness. Absolutely true. But beyond and above that, we should be and have a testimony. That evidential part of being a witness. Now let's look to the scriptures about this thing of testimony. And I have about 22 and a half minutes left to do it. Okay, here we go. No problem. I only have 15,000 scriptures here. So, and that's an estimation. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus was talking in here and as he is ministering in this part of his ministry in his life. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. And worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. By the way, this is mentioned in several of the Gospels, this particular encounter with Jesus. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Okay, so if you go back to Deuteronomy and you read about how the process of the cleansing was to take place, there was something that was an evidence that was brought forth to show that they were now clean and no longer unclean. Okay, so it was an evidence. So we're just talking about an evidence. By the way, if you will, we are dirty by the sin and the condemnation of sin in this world. And when we've been cleansed, we should show forth as a testimony that we've been cleansed. Just makes sense. You understand that our works are a gift of God. And God has given us that we should walk in good works. Why? As a testimony. It's an evidence that we've been born again. It's an evidence that we've been cleansed. And we get to show those that need to see that we've been saved. That we have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Over in Matthew 10, Jesus has another encounter here. And I'll read this to you beginning in verse 16. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So you understand that, right? So he says, look, you're going to live according to my words and according to my teachings. You're born again. You're saved. And when you go out and convict the world, if you will, by the way you live and by what you do and by what you say and what you preach, there you're going to be brought forth between in front of these kings and in front of these councils. But that bringing forth in your life is going to be a testimony against them. You see, we should be different. We should look different. We should act different. And when we do, that should make them feel uncomfortable. Because it's a testimony. It's an evidence of a life lived for God. Going on, he says this, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. So he's saying your testimony is going to be revealed. Your witness is going to be revealed. Your evidence is going to be revealed, and it's okay. And you're going to be hated, and you're going to be persecuted, but you're going to stand true in who and what you are in Christ Jesus. Right? Go over to Matthew 24. Now, these are just times in the scriptures where this word testimony is used, and it's in conjunction with being a witness. Okay? So, we are bringing forth the evidences of what it means to be born again in Jesus Christ, be made a new creature, to have this witness in us that's supposed to be coming out of us so other people can see. And that's what being a testimony is. You say, well, I'm a witness for Christ. Great. Now be a witness and a testimony. Okay? Couple one with the other, or if you will, take it to the next level. That's what we need to be. Look at Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? By the way, those are deep questions. Okay? They're really deep. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. By the way, I want you to know, those are false witnesses. Right? Because they're going to say, I'm the Christ, right? And they're not the Christ. Okay? They're false witnesses. And so, these are those that just say that they're something, or say that they are, but they're not, because there's no testimony. There's no evidences that dispel any question of doubt, right? So he says, this is going to happen. He says, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. By the way, is that an evidence? It is. Kingdom against kingdom. Yep. There shall be famines, yes, pestilences, yes, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay, so we have these things, but these are things that are going to be happening as a sign or a testimony of the end of the world, his coming, etc., right? So that's what he's saying. Don't just believe what you hear, you have what you see, what you're going to experience. She says these things. He says, these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Now, at that point, are they going to witness anything further? Not from this viewpoint. They'll be viewing it from another viewpoint, right? But not anymore on the earth. He said, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, in this particular passage, they chose to translate that word, same Greek word, into the word witness instead of testimony. a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So I want you to understand that as we look at this thing of testimony, there are some evidential things that need to take place and be in our lives so that there is no question that we're a Christian. There's no question that we have the power of God on our lives and in our lives. Go to Acts chapter 4. Now, please realize there are many examples of this in the scriptures. This word is listed many, many times in our Bibles. But I wanted to point out a few things here that we can really dwell upon as we try to be a witness, yes, a bearer of record, but also as we try to evidence Jesus Christ in our lives. Look at verse 32, Acts chapter 4. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." Now, folks, listen. As a believer in Christ, unity is very important. Like-mindedness is very important. Let me just be careful to say this about our testimony. It's not that we're all supposed to have my mind, or we're all supposed to have your mind. We're all supposed to have the mind of Christ. Okay? By the way, we're not, if you will, all supposed to be, make sure everybody's in unity with the preacher. All right? Or make sure everybody's in unity with the head deacon, you know, or whatever. No, no, no. We're all supposed to be in unity in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our head. I'm not the head. I'm the, if you will, the under shepherd, or the physical one that you look to. And I'm looking to Christ, okay? And as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But Jesus Christ is who we're supposed to be united with. Jesus Christ is who we're supposed to be in tune with. We're supposed to have his mind, right? That let this mind be in you. That's what it says in the scriptures. And we're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So he says that we're supposed to be in of one heart. That's the heart of Christ. And we're supposed to be of one soul, if you will. That's the soul of Christ. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the seat. He's supposed to be the head. He's supposed to be our all in all. And that's supposed to be our evidences. That's why we're called Christians, little Christs. Right? That's what we're supposed to evidence. And by the way, it'd be a great thing if someone took notice that you'd been with Jesus. Amen? They should notice that you've been walking and talking with the Lord. Okay? That's an evidence. That's a testimony that we can have. So he says of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. There you go. That's another evidence. So they were in unity. They were of one heart and one soul. They were together in Christ. And it wasn't, oh, this is mine and that's yours. It's ours, or it's his. By the way, that's why, folks, let me tell you something. If God decides to do something great for you, maybe a promotion in a job, or you can have a nice vehicle or a nice home, I am not going to be jealous of you. I'm not going to be envious of you. Because that's what God has decided to give you to manage, and I'm going to be excited for you. And I hope you're excited for me, if some good things come my way, if you will. And we should be, by the way, I hope you realize anything that I, if you will, own, which I don't own any of it, it's all God's, I will give it away if God tells me to. Why? Because it's his. And if a brother and sister in Christ, and I really mean this, I know this gets me in trouble sometimes, but that's okay. If they come to me and say, Pastor, I really need $20. I know you have $20. I need $20. I'll give them $20. Because it's not mine. It's God's. And if they need it, then I get to be a vessel of blessing to you. Okay, so after church, I know I'm going to get lots of requests for $20. I just want you to know I don't have a $20 bill on my person right now. I'm not going to tell you which bill I do have. And I'm not going to let you guess either. Okay? Now, but you understand that this is the spirit that they had, and it was a testimony. It was an evidence of what had taken place in their hearts and in their lives through Jesus Christ. Let's continue to read. He says this, they had all things common, and with great power. By the way, what did the Bible say was going to happen? They shall receive power, and they shall be witnesses. So he says, in great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought pieces, the prices of things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So in all of this, we have this word witness again. Same Greek word, but this time chosen to be labeled as witness instead of testimony. But it carries with it that same connotation of an evidence. All right? An evidence. Acts chapter 7. Flip over a few chapters there. So I hope that you see, by account of the scriptures, what it means to be a witness and a testimony. Look at chapter 7 here, in verse 44. This is Stephen. He says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. Okay, now, this is again, this word is translated witness here, in this particular passage again, because what they had in the tabernacle was a picture or a speaking, a witness of what things that God had put forth. The altar meant something. The brazen laver meant something. The holy of holies and the table of showbread, all the different pieces. We've studied that in Sunday school. The different things, the different knobs and latchets and hooks and brackets and things, the covered planks of wood and the types of wood and the types of string and types of linen and embroidered work and all those things were a witness of the things of God. They were a testimony. Okay? So he says this speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion of that he had seen. By the way, Moses had seen something. God showed it to him, and he produced it in physical form in the tabernacle, okay? So that others could see it. He says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Okay, so Stephen, of course, is pretty much scathing these Pharisees, right? And by the way, right after this, they begin to stone him, etc. And we see all of that happen. But he says these things were a witness. And they were evidenced in the lives of their forefathers. And they still ignored the testimony. Now, it doesn't matter if this world either ignores or accepts your testimony. But what matters is your testimony is brought forth before them. You see, if you have nothing to bring forth, then what can they either accept or deny? Folks, we all have to have something to bring forth. And it's not just what we've seen and what we've heard. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to tell someone about what you've seen and heard. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say tonight. I'm just trying to encourage all of us to take it a little bit further. To not just bring the word, but the word and the deed. You know what James says? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Well, can I say something? And this is just, I'm not adding to scripture or anything. I'm just trying to explain it to you. But it's almost like a witness is good, if you will. But a witness and a testimony is better. Bring the testimony. Hey, go out and proclaim Jesus Christ. Give the gospel tracts out. But then live the gospel out in your life. Be that testimony for Jesus Christ. As we finish tonight, I just wonder, I have more verses. I have 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1. I have Hebrews 3. I may read James 5, I'm not sure. But I have a potpourri of testimonies of God from the Old Testament, which is only about 25 verses. Let me read them to you. This is David for the most part. Well, actually, as far as I know, for all the part. But this is David speaking of the testimonies of God. David had experienced the evidences, the manifestation that made sure there was no shadow of doubt that he could trust God. Folks, there should be no shadow of doubt that people can trust God because of our life that we evidence in front of them. Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So guess what? The testimonies are something you can keep because you can see them and do them, if you will. Okay? Psalm 78:56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. So we see the testimonies being kept, and now we see the testimonies not being kept. Psalm 93:5. Thy testimonies are very sure. I love that. The testimonies of God are very sure. In other words, you can't get it wrong if you look at the testimonies of God. He says, they're very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Psalm 99:7. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. So testimonies are something you can give. And they can be kept. Or they cannot be kept. Or they cannot be given. You understand that? The testimonies, the evidences, or the witness that makes things very clear. Psalm 119. Okay, now all the rest of these are Psalm 119. All right? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Wow, that's amazing. The testimonies of God are a delight and a counselor. I have stuck. I love this one. It's in verse 31. And I'm not going to go back and preach and teach Psalm 119. That took way too long. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. We can stick in God's testimonies. That's a great way to be stuck. Amen? In the testimonies of God. And he says, I love this one. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I thought on my ways. And this is great for David to say this. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He said, okay, I considered my way and said, you know, God's testimonies are better. I'm going to turn my feet unto that. That's amazing. He says, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimony. So the testimonies of God and the evidences are things we can know. They're things we can see. They're things we can keep. They are things that can be given. There are things that can be not given, if you will. So the testimonies are tangible things. 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Do you see that these other words that the psalmist is using are describing the solidity of testimony. Testimony is solid. It's firm. It's something that you can trust. It's something you can look to. It's an evidence that makes things clearly seen, or if you will, that elucidates things. It makes it clear. It brings light and illustrates. It makes it intelligible. A few more. I had to find my place. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Wow. Talk about solid. The testimonies of God. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Folks, this is amazing. We've experienced new life in Christ. We've experienced salvation. And now we get to live a life according to the testimonies of God that we can repeat and be that testimony to others. It should be something people can see. It should be something people can trust. They can look at. There should be no question. It should make life clear that it is to show people that we're real. God has shown us that He's real. Now we get to show people that God is real by the life that we live. In 168, he says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Folks, there is nothing hid with God. God knows our path. He sees all of our ways. If you will, He sees our testimonies. I just want to ask tonight, does your testimony line up with God's testimony? When people look at you, do they see God? Or do they see something else? What is evidenced in your testimony? When you're brought before the kings, the people, are they ashamed? Or do they say, no, you know what? No, he's just like me. He lies, cheats, steals, carouses. No difference. Or do they say, you know what? I'm not comfortable because he really is holy and righteous and true and just. Brother, back there. Brother Freeze. On the characteristics of God, what number were you on this morning? 53. Are you emulating the 53 so far? You've probably got a bunch more to go, don't you? Okay. He keeps finding new ones. Amen. Is that what they see in you? Is that your testimony? Because guess what? His testimonies, they're forever. His testimonies are things that we can love, things that we can keep, things that we can be, so that others can see the evidences. And by the way, new word for the week, elucidate. I think I'm saying that right. Does your life elucidate? Does it make clear? Does it enable people to see the truth of Christ in you? Not just what you say, but who you are. That's a testimony.